Bleak Expectations by Mark Evans. Volume 3, Chapter the 4th. A horrible life unruined, then re-ruinated a lot.
Grr. Get also. Get also.
You sound conflicted, sir.
I am as conflicted as an Italian who has been told he may have as many cheap, shiny suits and lascivious glances at women as he desires, yet first he must fight properly in a war. For my idiot son-in-law, Sourquill, is due. Yet he will bring my beloved daughter and double beloved grandson.
Your daughter and her baby, sir.
Hurrah!
Also your son-in-law.
Father, please be polite to my husband.
Very well. No, I can't do it.
Do not worry, Sir Philip. I have come to see your abuse as the expression of affection by different means.
Well, it isn't.
At least I shall not hear your rudeness, for I must leave.
So soon?
Alas, I am late for my suffragette's welding class.
Still being emancipated, dear Lily?
I shall not rest until women are treated equally the world over, except perhaps in the Northeast, where they'd find it all a bit weird.
Now, the boy and I can enjoy your adventures.
Can he understand them?
With this device, yes.
What is that?
The mechanical baby translating engine invented by Professor Charles Babel. Let me demonstrate. I wish to say, it is a lovely day. I write that down, put it into the machine, power up the flywheel, calibrate the lingua gauge, then simply ratchet down the translator throttle, scringe the gearings, and wait. Behold the translation. A goo 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 wah wah.
Ow! He has punched me.
That's my boy.
Now I see. No, I calibrated incorrectly, and instead of meaning it is a lovely day, the phrase a goo 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 wah wah means you're an ugly little sack of milk and dribble. Now he's been sick into the mechanism. And the machine is broken. At least it has not exploded. It has exploded.
He hates your devices. Truly, he is my grandson. Now, last time, you heard how I thwarted the plan of my evil, undead ex-guardian, Mr. Benevolent, to steal London and sell it to the French. Alas, this had cost all my money, and now I and my family were homeless. Yet, as we wandered the streets, I was oddly happy.
This is a wonderful new start, for only when you have nothing are you truly free.
Or indeed, truly hungry, miserable, and cold.
But poverty is great. You take gold carriages everywhere, and you are friends with the Queen.
That is when you are rich.
Ah, but then poverty is even better, for I hate gold carriages and the Queen. That is not true. Obviously, I love the Queen. She's brilliant. Dear Sister Pippa, surely you feel the freedom of poverty?
Well, yes, dear brother, but then again, I also feel the anguish of no money. We are poor, so poor. Oh, I am swooning. Hold me, dear husband Harry.
Oops, Butterfingers.
We should take her inside to recover. Oh, that's right. We can't. We haven't got a house.
Well, we shall make one from whatever flotsam and jetsam we find on the banks of old Father Thames.
Alas, old Father Thames turned out to be a miserly father indeed. The sort who makes you sit on his desk as a paperweight so he can claim your food as a legitimate business expense.
What have we found, dear wife Ripley?
Two dead bodies and some mud.
Dear Sister Pippa?
Two dead bodies and some mud.
Harry?
I struck lucky, because I found two dead bodies and some mud.
I fared better with three dead bodies and some mud. Now, let us build.
We worked hard, and soon our new home was finished.
Is it not delightful?
As delightful as any corpse and mud house.
How wretched is our lot! I may swoon again! Hold me!